Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Luke, 14th chapter, 25th through the 33rd verses. Now crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the word of the Lord.
So I've been an every Sunday preacher since 1996, I figured out. So outside of special Sundays or vacations or whatever, and there was 3 months where I was on sabbatical, but outside of all of that I've been doing this for the last 23 years. And so when I think about that, I think, how did I get away with it this long? You know, I still got them fooled here. But I've learned over the years that there are certain texts, certain scripture passages that you, as a pastor, I sort of develop a relationship with, that you come back to them year after year, or in the lectionary you hear certain passages every 3 years. And so there are certain scripture passages that I've preached on several times, and here's how I can tell that I've preached on them. I have commentaries, little explanations of scripture passages, scholarly explanations of them, and so I'll study those as I'm preparing for my sermon, and sometimes I'll look at commentaries and I'll see underlinings and different colored inks and pencils, and I think, okay, yeah, I've preached on that one a time or two. But there are others, I'll look at the commentary, and it's just as clean and neat as the day I bought the book, and I realize, like, okay, I just didn't want to talk about that passage at all. There's one set that I've had for 20 years, and it's still a good set, so I keep coming back to it, and I can just kind of gauge how often I preach on a passage just based on that. So, this one, the passage that we heard today, I looked at my commentary, and there was no underlining at all. And I realized that every time I've come to this passage, as it's been in a lectionary reading for Sunday mornings, I've sort of had this reaction when I've read it here. No, you know, think, okay, I don't want to touch that one. I don't want to get close to that one at all. And the reason for it is, and you can probably, as you heard it being read, is to think, it's hard. This is a hard scripture passage. I mean, if you didn't sit up a little straighter when you heard some of this, then maybe you weren't listening. You know, Jesus says, okay, if anyone doesn't come after me and hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. No one builds a tower without first sitting down to figure out the cost. Now, this is not really inspirational feel-good kind of stuff here. I mean, usually when I'm coming here, when I'm preparing for Sunday, I think, okay, I want to give people something that'll make them feel good about being a Christian and motivated to do the right thing and ready to go out and to serve and to follow Jesus. But here's Jesus talking about hating family, leaving behind possessions and everything. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to get an inspirational, feel-good message out of this. But I think, you know, as I've worked on it here this week, I think maybe there's something worth hearing still in this. And it's this. What have you left behind? Braxton, our little guy, he had, it's past tense now, these shoes, these sandals that looked kind of like this. They were sort of like this. And we got them several months ago at Once Upon a Child, that resale store. And so they had been gently used already, but they were still good shoes. And Braxton, he wore them through the warm months. I mean, he just, pretty much those were his everyday shoes, and he put some miles on them. If you've seen him run around, he can wear out some shoes. And so, and they were Velcro like these, and so the Velcro, we noticed, started losing its stickiness. You know, how does the Velcro, after a while, it just doesn't stick as well, and the shoes were getting worn, and they were still holding together, but you could kind of tell, okay, the days were numbered for these shoes. And so we were on a trip a few weeks ago, and we had gone to Michigan, and we had a wonderful time and spent time on the beach at Lake Michigan. It was just really a nice time, and we were looking for something to do on the last full day of the trip. And there's this place in Holland, Michigan called Nellis Dutch Village. Some of you might be familiar with it. This is a picture from it, and it's this little theme park, and it's all made to look like a Dutch village. And it's got the little canal you can kind of see there, and they've got a place where they make wooden shoes and a Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round and then a little show with Dutch dancers and traditional dress and all of that. And so we had a wonderful time, just a really nice time there. And they had a petting zoo there as well. And they had all these farm animals there in this petting zoo, and llamas and goats and rabbits and chickens, and you could buy some food for 50 cents and feed the animals. And so they had this pen where you could go in with all of these little goats in this pen. And so we went in there, and at one point I felt something tugging on my shorts, and it was a goat eating my shorts. I thought, wait a minute, I need my shorts here, you know, I want to keep these. And Braxton, he loved it. I mean, he wanted to hug every goat, and he's running around there wanting to get close to every goat that he could. And the thing is, think about it. You've just got to watch your step in there, in the goat pen, because the goats are there doing what goats do, and their digestive system does what digestive systems do, and so you got to watch your step a little bit there in the goat pen. And so Braxton doesn't think about that, though. That's just not something on his mind, and he sees a goat, and he runs to it, and he wants to get close to the goat. And by the time we were done, he had stepped in a lot of goat droppings, And they had some place where you could clean your shoes, and we tried to clean these sandals as best we could. But when we were done, when we were leaving there, we were leaving the park, there's this little outlet mall just right next to the park. And there's this kid's store right on the corner that's very visible. And so we didn't even need to get in our car. We walked over there, and we found some new sandals for him. And you know what we did with those old sandals? There was a trash can right outside the store, and he said, you know, they went right in the trash can. We figured there was no point keeping them. I mean, there wasn't any life left in the shoes, and they were pretty much worn out, and they were gross after being in the goat pen. And we thought, well, what's the point of keeping them? Nobody else is going to want these sandals. And so we just chucked them there in the trash. Some things like that you just need to leave behind, don't you? Some things there's no point in keeping. Maybe you're on a trip and you brought an old toothbrush with you, and on the last day you brush your teeth and you say, you know what, I've got a new toothbrush waiting at home. This old one is going in the hotel trash can. What's the point of bringing it home? The worn out couch before the move. I had this couch before I moved here that it had been my sister's, and then she gave it to me. And let me tell you, I got every ounce of life out of this couch. I tried to give it to Goodwill. We brought it to Goodwill. They wouldn't take it. That was the point, you know. And so you know what happened to that couch? It got stuck out in the alley behind my old house, and I called the city, and they picked it up, and it went to the dump. I mean, it was just, there was no point in taking it with me. It was just, it had served its purpose. Now, those are things that, okay, you got all the life you could out of those things, and what's the point of taking them with you anymore? But there are other things that we leave behind, and sometimes it's because they're harmful. You ever have a pebble in your shoe? You know what that's like? You walk, and you feel that pebble in your shoe, and it sort of bothers you, and then you have that internal dialogue. You know what I'm talking about, when that pebble in your shoe, you're thinking, is it worth it to stop and get this pebble out of your shoe? And maybe for a while you keep walking and you say, okay, it's not that bad. I guess I can put up with this. But then after a while, there's sort of a point where you realize, okay, I don't want this pebble in my shoe. And sort of like this picture here, this guy's doing this right next to this mural of somebody taking a shoe off. You take that shoe off, and what do? You shake it. And that pebble falls to the ground. Do you ever look at that pebble and say, I want to keep that pebble. I'm going to take that with me. Well, no. You leave the pebble there on the ground. I mean, you leave it behind. Now, we have lots of pebbles, if you think metaphorically, lots of pebbles, big and small in our lives, where we say, I just don't need this. I don't want to take this with me. I was reading an interview with the actor Brad Pitt. He's a fellow Missourian. I feel this weird connection because he grew up in the town where I went to college and had friends that saw him around town a time or two. But I was reading this recent interview with him, and he was talking about his drinking, and he realized it was harmful to his family, that he had a problem. And he realized that it was harming the people around him. And he said in the interview, I removed my alcohol privileges. I like how he said that. I removed those privileges. We do that sometimes in life, don't we? We do that where we just say, this thing is harmful to me or to the people around me, and I just need to leave it behind. The bad habit that you realize isn't really helping you, isn't helping anyone around you. The hurtful place that you just need to stop going to. Sometimes it's a thing that's maybe not necessarily bad in itself, but you choose one thing over another, and that means you just have to leave something behind. For those of you who are married, when you got married, you said no to lots of other people so you could say yes to one person, couldn't you? You left behind others so you could go with one. Lots of things like that we leave behind. And Jesus acknowledges that when we follow Jesus, there are some things we leave behind to follow him. Now, I know that this comes out kind of harsh, what Jesus says. He says, if you don't hate father and mother and everyone else in your family, you can't be my disciple. Now, a couple of things here. Jesus could often use hyperbole. That's your big fancy word for today. And hyperbole is just extreme speech, when you overstate something, exaggerated statements, not really meant to be taken literally. Think of it this way. You get busy in the middle of the day, and it's 2:00, and you haven't had lunch yet. You got so busy you didn't even have time for lunch. And your stomach is growling, and you're feeling weak and hungry, and you say, I'm so hungry I could die. Now, really? Are you really that hungry that you could die? Now, you might be hungry, but I'm guessing most of us, if we skip a meal or two, we're going to be okay. We're going to make it. That's hyperbole. You're overstating the experience. Now, Jesus could do that. He could use hyperbole. He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. Now, is he saying literally cut off your hand? I hope not. No. It's hyperbole. Now, the word that he uses for hate, too, carries the sense of detachment, turning away from. Now, when we say hate, we think of it as an emotionally filled thing. You say, I hate you, and you stomp off and you walk away. Jesus is using this word in the sense of being detached from something. Now, you know this. Throughout the Bible, there's this call to love others, especially your family. In 1 Timothy 5, it says that anyone who does not provide for the relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith. You know, we're told again throughout the Bible, you're to love the people around you, especially your family. So is Jesus here in this passage saying you need to go home and say to your family, I hate you all, I'm following Jesus now, later? No, no. So what's Jesus saying here? I think he's saying that sometimes we have to make choices. Some things, when we make choices, we leave behind. A little later, he says, you can't be my disciple unless you give up all of your possessions. Now, some of you are probably saying, now, wait a minute, I got a lot of stuff, and I need that stuff, and I don't want to give it up. Now, the verb that he uses when he says give up, it could also be translated to bid farewell to take your leave of. Jesus is saying some things we leave behind to follow him. Years ago, I was at, I don't even remember the organization, some organization, community organization, had this breakfast and promoting what they were doing. And I'm sitting at this table for this breakfast at this hotel conference center, and I'm sitting at this table with a bunch of strangers. And so spark up a conversation with the people around me, and I'm talking to this man who's sitting next to me, and this man explained that he worked for his church, a bigger church in Northwest Indiana, and he had this job in this organizational capacity. He had this job as this big administrative organizational kind of job. He didn't come to that job from a ministry background. He wasn't an ordained pastor, but he had come from corporate life. He had had some big deal corporate job, traveled around the country, did really well. But he felt called to this work that he was doing with his church, and so he gave up this job so he could do this work with his church. And I said to him after he told that story, I said, I have the feeling you probably took a pay cut to do what you're doing. And he looked at me with these two knowing eyes, you know, knowing eyes, and he said, you don't know the half of it. And I said, well, I said, I can guess. Now, nothing wrong with working in corporate life. We need people and Christians in all walks of life. But what he was saying was, okay, I felt called by God to do this work with my church, and I left that other job so I could follow Jesus in this job. It's not so different from Jesus calling his disciples at the beginning of the Gospels. What do? They leave behind the boats and the fishing nets. We all have some boats and fishing nets in our lives, don't we? We've all left something, haven't we, to follow Jesus? Whether it was something as dramatic as the disciples leaving behind their livelihood or that guy I met at that breakfast, but it could be something as simple as you left behind some hurtful practices so you could follow Jesus. Or there were things that you were doing that you realized weren't helping anyone and not yourself, and so you left them behind. Sometimes it's even relationships where we still love the person, but we say, I can't keep up this kind of relationship that we've had before because I choose to follow Jesus. Sometimes it could be something as simple as all the money and the time that you've given to help this church, to help others. We've all left something, haven't we? And Jesus acknowledges this, that sometimes we leave things behind to follow him. We do so because Jesus calls us to something so much better than what we leave behind. Amen.